Across Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
Welcome to the weekend and the CJ Agribusiness Report. Our Saturday crew is standing by. Tom and Tim, Jeff and Bill, John Block, and more. Grab your coffee and let's get started. Here's Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Amy France farms in western Kansas. As the chair of the National Sorghum Producers Association, she's in touch with many farmers across the nation and travels internationally to work on behalf of producers. Sorghum may be an overlooked opportunity on some farms, but with changing demands from domestic consumers and international buyers, there are reasons to consider the crop. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by ProFarmer. Start making confident marketing decisions with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style is designed to save you time while giving you the important information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll stay on top of profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile cell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. To learn more, just go to ProFarmer.com. When I was in high school, we grew corn, soybeans, and milo, or sorghum. The 1980s were often dry times, and the sorghum took less water to grow a good yield. We eventually moved away from growing it, but Amy France will tell you why there are reasons to consider it in a cropping mix. With new demands domestically and internationally, not to mention the need to look for lower input costs in a time of tight margins, sorghum is making sense to a lot of people. We discussed some of the opportunities on her farm, and perhaps for other farms as well. Amy France joins me here on Farming the Countryside. She's from Scott City, Kansas, chair of the National Sorghum Producers. Amy, I appreciate you joining me. For those that don't know where Scott City is, you're way out there in western Kansas, aren't you?
We are. Everybody is a little confused where western Kansas begins, but we're about 90 miles from the Colorado border. So keep coming when you think you get to western Kansas and you'll find Scott City.
Talk about the farm there. You married into this operation and perhaps didn't have a lot of farm in your, at least your early background in life, right?
Right. So my husband is the true farmer and is generational farmer. I did not grow up in agriculture. So born in Hayes, Kansas, and then moved to Kansas City and grew up there. And then both my parents are music educators, retired now. But they moved our family out to western Kansas, Leota, just about 30 miles from Scott City. And that's where I was introduced to the best life, the farming, ranching life. But Andrew, I really didn't know anything about agriculture until I married my husband. Even in the beginning of our marriage, I had an off-the-farm job. So a lot of learning and truly falling in love with this lifestyle.
Talk about the farm there. Obviously, sorghum's got to be, and milo's got to be an important part of it, but I know you grow several different things there.
Yes. So we do have a bit of a diversified farm. So we have sorghum, aka milo, where we're at, corn, wheat, and then we have a cow-calf Black Angus herd as well.
Good year in western Kansas for crops, or how was the crop this year?
Beautiful year. We have had the best year we've had in 3 or 4 years. In fact, we're really late in cutting this fall harvest with corn and milo because we've had so much moisture, which you rarely ever hear us say out here in western Kansas, but extremely grateful. Our yields are just incredible. And so very grateful and able to drill some wheat into some wonderful moisture as well.
You know, talk about that for a moment, because good yields for you, we had good yields comparatively for our farm in northwest Missouri. given the economics of things, will that good crop be enough to offset the lower prices, or what's the feeling on your farm and for others out in your area?
Well, you know, my husband and I were talking about it, and his oldest son is on the farm too, you know, and just this was his first year. So a difficult year to come in as far as, you know, the dollars go. My husband, Clint, he said, we'll have double the yield, so we'll still be able to make it, you know, and inputs less with sorghum. But there's no question, there's still loss due to markets, unfortunately, and the input costs, labor costs, you name it, we have quite a bit stacked up against us. But we are truly grateful for this beautiful crop this year.
You know, and talk about your background for a moment, because I believe you were in banking. Were you in ag banking before switching over to more full time on the farm?
Right. I actually did real estate lending, but a small local bank, we do a little bit of everything. You know, loan committees saw it all go through the table and or the desks. So did have an interesting perspective to be able to see what that looked like in the farm economies. You know, we saw the highs and we saw the lows. And then also seeing just really what it looked like for these new bankers, new farmers coming on, not having the solid foundation as the older generation. So coming into the farm, and especially right now, is difficult. But, knowing what that balance sheet looks like, seeing others preparing and struggling with that and seeing how that cash flow was going to work, now helping our oldest son prepare his cash flow, it's difficult to see. And you just say, you know what, you've got to ride the wave here. It's like a true investment. You can't pull out and expect to make it. You've got to just keep riding the wave if you can.
Right. Well, you know, given that background, I wanted to ask you for a moment, because as farmers, obviously we're in business, we have to make money, but I think that you have been on that banking side and had perhaps watched that a bit more because it was part of your job. Are there things we as farmers should be thinking more about? Because you have seen it from that side, and this is a time in which we really have to put a pencil to things. So what do you see?
Yeah. You know, I say the number one thing is your relationship. There is something to be said about our local community banks, because they're going to know most of the time they've had this relationship with you, with your father, with your grandfather. And that's really important. They've seen the lifestyle and really the ebb and flow of your farm and what's to come. So I say your relationship number one, and being very honest with your banker. The banks are held to a different level today than they were even 12 years ago when I was there. You know, the things that they've got to supply. Obviously, when we talk about renewals, you and I know, but often we have to remind our lawmakers how critical crop insurance is. Oftentimes, if we don't have those numbers, you're not going to get renewed. So those are things that we all know. But I would say being as transparent as possible is really important. And I know farmers have a difficult time doing that. You know, we like to stash our money in the mattress and we like to, you know, save a few cows to the side. But being transparent is really important, especially in the most difficult years that we're coming out of.
There on your farm, are there any things that you're doing different now that we've entered a time in which margins are a bit tighter? Is it a different crop mix? Is it just making sure that we're doing what we've always done and do it any better? Any changes that you're doing?
We have utilized what our crop consultants are showing us. We've done soil samples saying, really, what do we need? We do precision planting and application, because if we can save even a little bit, that's going to make a big difference on that cash flow. So one thing that I always say when it comes to Milo is my father-in-law said, that's what saved his farm in the 80s. He did lose some of the farm in the 80s, but he knew he could afford to put Milo in the ground. It would still yield for him, and so able to still make some of those payments and kept our farm afloat. And that's really where I think Milo sorghum really shines in this area, is it does take less inputs and still yields an incredible crop. So when we're looking at how we can cut and maybe tighten things a little bit, for us, it has been increasing our acres for sorghum.
Talk about how you got into the role of being chair, because, you know, the farming hadn't been in your background, but yet you find yourself the chair of one of the larger commodity organizations here in the United States.
Yeah. Well, number one, Andrew, I'm going to say I had an awesome support team and mentors, but it's a bit of a journey. As I said, I worked in banking, and then my husband said, I need help on the farm, and we can't afford to hire it. So that was me. And he probably could have found a lot better help, but I think I've done okay through the years. But really, that was it. I came out to the farm, left my off-the-farm job to help him full-time. And then I thought, you know, man, if this is our only income, I better figure out what I'm doing. So I just got involved. It started out on the county level with Farm Bureau. My husband is involved in that. Then moved to state. I actually was chair of our Kansas Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers. And then from there was able to take part in a process or two-year program with American Farm Bureau, where two people from each state can be nominated and only 10 are selected across the U.S. And that was a really incredible time for me. That's called Partners in Advocacy and Leadership. So at that time, we were focusing on Farm Bill, and which is funny because here we are still talking about Farm Bill. Of course, we did get one passed then. But, you know, and then at that point, it really was after I came off of that, I wondered what was next. And then I had some friends reach out and be like, would you ever consider putting your name in the hat for National Sorghum Producers? And I thought, there's no way I'm qualified for that. You know, these people were born and raised in farm, and what do I really have to bring? But I thought, what the heck, let's do it. So here I am today. And really, Andrew, I think the most important thing for me, and as I visit with others that have the same thought of like, I shouldn't do this. Everybody has a different perspective. And I always say that on my farm, I don't drive the tractor. I'm like the last resort when it comes to grain cart driver, because we have people to fill those shoes. But what I found with policy and NSP was that's how I could contribute to our farm. And that's where I felt like I could make the most difference, not only for my farm today, but for our kids that want to take over the farm. So that's really kind of the short and long of how I got here. But there's no question. I've had incredible boards, and I treasure their input and their knowledge, because there are things that I don't innately know, and that's okay. You know, we shouldn't have a board full of all the same people. We need a board full of different perspective and different voices, and I really feel like NSP does a great job of diversifying those that are around the board table.
Let's talk about National Sorghum Producers then. What about some of the key things that's on your mind right now? I know that there are so many, but as you think about the agenda, what's top of mind?
Well, trade has always been top of mind for us. And, you know, some things that often people don't realize is that China truly is the cornerstone and has been for over a decade of our international trade, our export market. So what we export of sorghum, 80 to 90% of that goes to China. So when you pull that market out, it has been incredibly difficult for our sorghum producers in the market. So we're encouraged to see that there has been more talk and progression towards opening that. And from what we hear, we're open for business, assuming regular business, and we continue to dig a little deeper on that. But what we say is we're grateful for that market to be open, but let's talk about what else there is, because we cannot put all our eggs in one basket. We've been asking for diversification. We've been working at other countries. So we're also encouraged to have the Malaysia agreement that was just last week as well. And we've never had that agreement to go into Malaysia. So opening those doors are extremely important for sorghum so that we can, you know, supply the very best crop. And our China buyers have been longtime friends, and they want and demand the best sorghum that can be grown, and that comes from the U.S. So we'll be able to continue to have those relationships, but building others is extremely important.
With China, in a sense, out of the market for a little while, at least for our crop, what have you been able to do then to develop some of those other markets?
Well, you know, one thing, and I say, you know, oftentimes it's overlooked or we don't know, but we've been working in a lot of countries for many years, working at those non-trade barriers, trying to bring these feed trials in. And for example, India, I went over last January, and what that situation is over there is really the fight between fuel, ethanol, and feed poultry. So that's now that they're taking the corn over into ethanol production to meet their goals, it has really hurt the poultry sector. And so we're saying, let sorghum come in here where non-GMO, we can be used just like corn. And so we're trying to get and have an agreement to try to get some feed, in there to run some trials. So that's one example. Vietnam has been another one that we've been working at. So a lot of those Southeastern Asia countries have been a focus as well. But we're hopeful for India. There's continued talk. I know it's a challenge to get an agreement there, but we have incredible relations over there, and their poultry sector really needs sorghum and needs it soon.
I'm curious, since you were in India, what are the opportunities for sorghum and beyond? Because I would think that that country is certainly going to have a demand for all kinds of commodities, and perhaps we can be one of those countries that steps in and helps meet some of that demand.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, sorghum in the poultry. But what many people, even in the U.S., don't know is sorghum can be used for ethanol production. So again, as they're trying to meet these standards and goals they've set, we can come in easily. And, for you know, one thing to clear easily is that non-GMO, very protected that way. And so we can jump right in there. And it's been said several times that actually sorghum is what opened the door to China and other commodities came in. So we're saying, let us do that again. Let us help the other commodities. Let us clear this hurdle with non-GMO sorghum coming in, being able to fit wherever you need it, because it is very diversified crop. And come in, open this door, and then as you said, Andrew, other commodities could come in, because there are things with that increase in population, they're going to need help in other areas.
Talk about domestically here. I'm interested in the sorghum producers we have. For instance, when I was a kid, we used to grow sorghum or milo on our farm. It seems like a lot of that shifted more to the west, or at least west of us. Are you seeing more people looking at sorghum and milo as a possibility? What's happening overall in this country?
Absolutely. Again, the input. Also, something that's very important as we look at utilizing our resources, where I sit, and you, I'm sure you know, Andrew, sit on top of the Ogallala Aquifer, which stretches north and south of me, and that aquifer is declining. So sorghum is a water-sipping crop and can produce yields with, we still need moisture, but can still produce good yields with not as much input and not as much water. So that's been really important. When we talk about domestic use, so obviously, you know, biofuel, ethanol, and then human consumption, pet food, those are things that have been around for a while, but we're really seeing an uptick with non-GMO, gluten-free, you know, nutrient-dense. So we're seeing some consumers take notice of this as well. And so really exciting momentum being built up. Oftentimes, consumers, are consuming sorghum and don't even know it. So sometimes in your breakfast bars or a lot of baby food, like those puffs, Gerber puffs, once upon a farm, you're seeing that more and more as it kind of comes in and replaces rice, because they want something to put in there with some nutrients too. So sorghum checks that box as well. I don't know, Andrew, I'm biased, but I would challenge you to find another crop that can feed, fuel, and clothe. Well, not clothe, maybe sometime, but have that fiber as well. Sorghum does a very good job, can be used for insulation in your homes. Extremely diversified crop.
They just have to make it less itchy to deal with, right? That's the last hurdle.
You know, the trick about that is when you're harvesting sorghum, you put on baby powder. And that keeps the itch off. So, you know, we all have kind of a white, powdery tint to us when we're out in the fields because that keeps the itch off. So, yeah, up next is how we use Milo Itch for, you know, defense mechanism.
Right, right. Well, you know, you mentioned about less inputs and, you know, you have a non-GMO gluten-free type of product. And for some consumers, that's very important. Is that becoming more interesting then for some producers that maybe haven't been growing it or stepped away from it to step back in and look at it? I'm just interested in what the current economics, whether it's the demand or on the production side, how's it impacting what you're doing at NSP?
Yeah, it really has. As we've, again, we're looking at different markets for export, but also domestically. So, for example, ethanol production, where sorghum is at a lower price right now, we see that we've got two ethanol plants within 60, 90 miles from us. So we're getting a 5% premium on that. You know, if we can ensure that we have used less inputs, specific inputs, so really showing off that we have been good stewards of the land, excuse me, which oftentimes, as you know, it's you talk to farmers, we're the best at doing that. So just being able to label that and ensure that, as well as we grow on our farm a lot of food grade sorghum. And so we're able to send that to a mill that's specific to that. So I think everybody's looking for one more penny. And so I think sorghum's really been able to offer that here lately, and there's been an uptick in a momentum that is hard to deny.
In the time we have left here, I know you're always working on a variety of issues. I know that you spent some time on the Make America Healthy Again, the food bill, all these types of things. Just other thoughts that you have, because there's so much out there that you're communicating with others about.
I think the most important really is showing up. Oftentimes we wonder what we can do. Getting involved in organizations like NSP or who, you know, you have your commodities with, because a unified voice is going to make a difference. We still have a lot of work to do. We still need a skinny farm bill. We need a lot of things to be complete. You know, leaving farmers out in the limbo is not good for anyone. So just, you know, being able to get involved and have those conversations, it truly is an honor for me to hear our farmer stories. When I go to DC, that's what makes my trip effective, is when I can really speak on behalf of not just my farm, but my members' farms and their experiences, because everybody's is different. So it is truly an honor for national sorghum producers to have great membership and hear their stories. The successes and the struggles, those are important. We need both of those. So continuing to be involved and pull on our ear when we need to hear something different. You know, FSA offices are different from county to county, and that's no different with states. So really being involved, and I think it's an exciting time to be a sorghum grower and leading this organization. We've got a great team and excited to see what happens next.
You mentioned the farm bill there, maybe even a skinny farm bill. Want to venture any idea on where we're headed and how soon with some of this?
Man, you know, Andrew, there's a quote out there from about this time last year that I was determined we were going to have a farm bill before the end of the year. So I'm a little more hesitant to be so bold. I don't know. I'm not going to make a wager on time. I know there is a lot of determination and want and desire to get that done. You know, it's no secret. We have a lot of hurdles. There's a lot of work to be done on that behalf, but I'm hopeful that we'll get something done. Our farmers deserve it and need it, so we'll continue to have those conversations.
Now, as we wind up, you should mention on your farm, you not only grow several crops, but I believe you do some direct-to-consumer. You have a pumpkin patch and different things going on. What all do you have out there?
Oh my gosh, yes. We did a pumpkin patch for a number of years. That's what bought prom dresses and first cars and all those good things. So yeah, we, you know, you have a half acre that's unused and in a farmer's grain, you're like, how can I put that to work? So we really have done that. And now we, you know, got chickens that we like to sell our eggs to the neighbors. So, anything to get the kids involved and, to squeeze everything out that we can. But it's fun. Being a city girl coming out here to this farm life, I can attest there's no better life.
Amy, I appreciate the time. Appreciate what you're doing. I'm sure that you want to hear from folks if they've got ideas or things to share or if they want to learn more from you as well.
Yes, absolutely. Sorghumgrowers.com is our website, and get a good idea of everything happening with sorghum. So really appreciate the opportunity, Andrew.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside to find those social media pages. And if you want to go back and listen to more of these shows, just go to farmingthecountryside.com and click on the Listen tab, or go to your favorite podcast platform and scroll back to find other topics of interest as well. I appreciate you joining me this week. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com.
Standing by is Tom and Tim with the Ag Radio Net Farm News. When we return, it's Agriculture Today with Tony St. James in just a moment.
Calmin, C-A-L-M-I-N, is a great triple play for dairy farmers and their nutritionists to use. Research shows Calmin neutralizes over twice as much acid as sodium bicarbonate. Research also shows Calmin provides the highest rumen available calcium. And finally, research shows Calmin has the highest rumen available magnesium. Calmin, the economical triple play of dairy cattle nutrition.
Triple play? Unbelievable!
Ask your nutritionist or feed dealer to put Calmin in your dry and lactating cow rations today. Give us a call at 1-866-737-6273 or find us on the web at feedbricksusa.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
U.S. beef buyers will see lower import costs after President Trump signed an executive order removing the extra 40% tariff he imposed on Brazilian ag products earlier this year. The change takes effect retroactively to November 13th. It reflects early progress in trade discussions between the White House and Brazilian President Lula. It's been ending months of elevated duties that added to already tight protein supplies. The order restores lower tariff rates on key products. That includes fresh and frozen beef, coffee, fruit, fertilizer, and the items faced one of the highest penalty rates under Trump's July trade action, which initially imposed additional duties over concerns tied to Brazil's domestic political actions. Importers will now receive refunds where applicable, and the administration has posted a revised tariff annex. Now, for the beef sector, the rollback significant. Brazil, the world's largest beef exporter and a major supplier of lean manufacturing beef, it's used in U.S. processing regionally. Australia has been filling part of that gap with low tariff access and strong export volumes, supported by robust U.S. demand for lean, high-protein meat. The tariff revision is expected to rebalance the competitiveness among the major suppliers. Well, corn shippers will see lower freight costs this marketing year after both BNSF Railway and Union Pacific reduce many of their rail tariff rates for 2025-2026. The changes come as producers and merchandisers work through tight margins and rising delivery risk. It makes transportation savings more valuable heading into winter. BNSF left Pacific Northwest export rates unchanged, but introduced steep cuts on routes serving Hereford, Texas, and Mexico, especially from Nebraska origins. Rates from Edison, Nebraska, dropped by $540 per car to Hereford and by $340 per car to Mexico. Elevators across Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota saw $200 per car reductions to Hereford. Union Pacific followed with broad $150 per car reductions across most domestic and Mexico routes. It includes lower costs from Nebraska to California and from Illinois to the Texas border. Hereford, Texas, the center of the fed beef business in the U.S. Agricultural credit conditions across the 10th District weakened again in the third quarter. That is, crop producers faced another season of tight margins. Now, according to the Federal Reserve's regional survey based out of Kansas City, lenders in crop-heavy states like Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri reported lower farm income and softer repayment rates, with as many as 40% noting declines. Mountain State lenders also reporting weaker finances tied to low wheat and dairy prices. By contrast, cattle-dependent regions like Oklahoma experienced stronger incomes, improved repayment expectations, and steadier loan quality as record cattle prices continue to bolster revenues. It's Agriculture Today.
Attention to those of you out there that want to keep your work-from-home lifestyle hassle-free. You know, when you work from home, sometimes you're a one-man show. That even means your own IT department. But what do you do if you're not IT savvy? Call My Computer Works. Let them be your IT department. And they're based right here in the United States. Call My Computer Works right now. Save $75 off your membership. Protect your computer from viruses, ransomware, and keep it running in tip-top shape so you can run your career and your business in tip-top shape. Let them do what they do best, which is keep your computer running perfectly. And you do what you do best, which is run your business, your life, and your career. Call right now and save $75 off your membership. 800-492-8172. 800-492-8172. 800-492-8172. That's 800-492-8172.
More of today's favorites and the legends headed your way at 6. But for now, it's more of the news and information that farmers and producers of CJ Country can use. When our CJ Agribusiness Report returns, it's the Ag Radio Net Farm News with Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk. Stay tuned.
It's harvest time in New York. Make sure your equipment is ready to stay in the field with genuine AGCO parts from Java Farm Supply. Their knowledgeable parts specialists are ready to help you find the right agricultural part, from fluids and filters to hoses and fittings to engine and transmission parts and everything in between. Stop at their stores in North Java or Batavia and their online parts store for a wide selection, including Massey Ferguson, Heston, Fendt, Challenger, and more. Java Farm Supply, your one-stop shop for reliable, genuine AGCO parts.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
NCBA is accepting nominations for their Environmental Stewardship Awards. The program, established back in 1991, annually recognizes outstanding stewardship practices and conservation achievements of cattle producers across the nation. NCBA's President Buck Werbein said since its inception 35 years ago, the prestigious program has recognized 235 cattle operations for stewardship efforts. Any individual, group, or organization is eligible to nominate an individual or business raising or feeding cattle. While individuals and families can't nominate themselves, they should be involved in the preparation of the application. Along with the application, a nomination letter and three letters of recommendation highlighting the nominee's leadership in conservation are required. The application deadline isn't until February. Nominees don't have to be members of NCBA, but should support objectives of state and national organization. Award winners selected by a committee of representatives from universities, cattle production, conservation organizations, as well as federal and state agencies. For guidance, judges consider the management of water, wildlife, vegetation, air, and soil, along with leadership abilities and the sustainability of the business. Regional winners are recognized at the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting in Denver in July, with a national winner announced at 2027's Cattle Convention. Environmental Stewardship Award Program is an initiative of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the National Cattlemen's Foundation, made possible with generous support from USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and several organizations. For more information, go to environmentalstewardship.org and look for that nomination packet.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Quality feed, margins, productivity.
Even your herd knows what's important to you. All dairy farmers, our top priority at John Deere is keeping your animals healthy and productive. With our technology, you can reduce overlaps, track nutrient content of your forage, and reduce downtime. We have the solutions to help feed and care for your herd. To learn more, talk to your local John Deere dealer today.
Last week's National Milk Producer Federation annual meeting, farmers worked together. The annual meeting spotlighted some farmer progress. According to the National Milk Producers Federation CEO, dairy farmers are thriving in the marketplace, even as labor shortages and a volatile policy environment have remained a challenge. U.S. dairy well-positioned for growth, according to Greg Dowd. He said in remarks at the meeting held jointly by National Milk Producers Federation and Dairy Promotion and Research Board and the United Dairy Industry Association, noting $11 billion in new dairy plant investment currently underway across the nation, said, of course, there's uncertainty, but we're in expansion mode. Dairy producers in the past year have grappled with workforce instability and a shifting trade environment, even as consumer demand has remained strong and benefits of dairy are increasingly recognized in the nutrition and policy communities. Randy Mooney, who used his remarks to reflect on 17 years leading National Milk Producer Federation Board of Directors, said they built a strong foundation for dairy farmers across the country by ensuring that each and every day, farmers, no matter the size of their operation, have the tools, the support, and representation they need to succeed on their operation. Featured panelists at the meeting's general session included Dowd, who appeared with fellow dairy CEOs Barb O'Brien of DMI and Krista Harden of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Annual meeting held in conjunction with National Milk Producer Federation Young Cooperators Annual Meeting for Younger Dairy Leaders, as well as the annual Cheese and Dairy Products Competition.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just I...
It's just what? You don't know it's alive?
Well, I...
Well, it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these four principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered. And keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha...
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
It pays to plan your ag taxes throughout the year to pay less at the end of the year. Call the Ag Tax Specialists at Farm Credit East. Made in agriculture.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
When it comes to taking care of your land, you need equipment built to last. That's why so many property owners across Western New York and around the United States trust Woodmax. Proudly based right here in Akron, New York. For more than 15 years, Woodmax has designed and built premium tractor and skid steer attachments that turn hard jobs into manageable work. Whether it's clearing lake effect snow in the winter, mowing pastures in the summer, or tackling spring and fall cleanup with a wood chipper, Woodmax has the attachment for your property. property's needs. Each Woodmax product is engineered with durability in mind, backed by warranty protection, and supported locally by the Back 40 Group team, a proud veteran-founded company who recognizes and salutes the brave men and women of our armed forces. They take pride in ensuring every customer's expectations are met even long after the sale. Visit Woodmax.com or stop by 42 Jackson Street in Akron and discover why thousands of landowners nationwide rely on trust in their products to get the job done with ease.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past seven shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code BREAK25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code BREAK25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BREAK25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Dave, the government shutdown ended last week and thousands of government employees went back to work. We also learned that U.S. dairy cows never stopped working and in September produced 4.0% more milk than a year ago, with more cows in the string and healthy gains in output per cow.
Yeah, Lee, it was a big, big bearish number we got on Monday afternoon. Of course, this report was supposed to be issued back in October because of the government shutdown. It didn't come out until November 10th. But yeah, 4% was the headline number. When you look at a component adjusted number, it's up 6.1%. I mean, these are big, big numbers, and it's all because of, well, I shouldn't say all, but the vast majority of it is because of cows. We've added cows at the fastest pace we've added probably in like 40 years, the mid-1980s, the last time you have to go back. In the last 15 months, we're up 2.8% on cow numbers. That's 258,000 animals added to the herd.
Tuesday. To me, about getting a good, healthy product back in our schools as a choice. The children are only allowed to have skim in 1%, and as a ex-dairy farmer, I feel that 2% and whole should go back in as a choice. Let's get whole milk as a choice back in school, and also maybe we can save some farms.
Wednesday.
How do we care for our calves during these winter months?
Yeah, looking at calves, thinking about cold weather from a calorie balance is something that's always important to do as the seasons change and the weather gets colder. And so a couple things we can do to make that calorie balance better, obviously bedding with long stem straws, is that takes a little thermal stress off the calf. I kind of liken it to like crawling under the covers at night when you go to bed. And if you can't do that, then that would be like you going to bed, but you don't crawl under your sheets and stay warm. You just lay on top of your sheets, and that would be cold. And so bedding, you know, maybe 3-4 times a week instead of 2 or 3 times a week keeps that bedding loftier. And a good number to use would be 25 pounds of dry, lofty straw per 1,000 pounds of calf every day. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to bed every day, but you can use that to calculate. If you got 10 calves and they each weigh 100 pounds, that's 1,000 pounds. So you should be going through about 25 pounds of straw a day, or 50 pounds if you do it every other day. So some simple math can help us keep on track on the bedding there. Another thing you can do to help the calorie balance is you can put calf jackets on. Typical rule of thumb is when the daytime high and the nighttime low added together are less than 90, then you should put jackets on.
Thursday.
The dairy industry continues to roll with the changes. And on today's Dairy Radio Now, we're joined by longtime contributor Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation.
One of the things I was looking at, Bill, as I look back over the last 28 years that I've been with National Milk, is just the incredible growth in milk per cow output. Back in the late 90s, it was somewhere around 17,000 pounds per year, and now it's getting close to 25. But when you think about how much more milk we're producing from essentially the same number of cows over a quarter century, I think that's one of the most dramatic things. And it's harder to observe because things haven't changed. But if you kick the tires a little bit, you see how much we've done in terms of animal husbandry for the higher milk output. And then the other is just diets. We know a lot more about nutrition science and the right rations. And we're seeing that right now, last few years, in just enormous growth in protein output and milk fat output.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to be looking at beef on dairy. We're seeing a very large trend right now in the U.S. where we're breeding our dairy cattle to a beef bull semen. We call them black calves, are now selling for over $1,000 and have a real impact on dairy economy. And in fact, in some cases, this is the difference between being a profitable dairy farm or just breaking even with current prices. These black calves that are basically Angus and Holstein crosses, they have a high quality carcass for consumers, a premium price out there as well, compared to, say, just Holstein, straight Holstein animals being fed out. We used to have 39 million. We're down 28 million head here in the United States, primarily because of drought stress, some of the fires, and some of the economics now. But right now, beef really is selling at a very, very high price. Right now, beef is expensive. It's about, if you look, depending on the cuts, the national average is about $8 per pound for beef, compared to pork at $3.50, poultry at $2.30, $2.25. But yet, consumers still like beef as well in their diet.
Dairy Rewind.
Targeted violence is premeditated violence and is usually directed at a specific individual, group, or location. Targeted violence is different from impulsive, reactive, or emotional acts of violence. Targeted violence can include school shootings, workplace violence, domestic violence, stalking, and terrorist attacks. Please contact the Wyoming County Threat Assessment Committee confidential tip line at 786-6001 if a classmate, coworker, partner, family member, friend, or neighbor starts demonstrating concerning behaviors. For immediate concerns, please call 911.
Where can you buy 4x8 sheets of 7/16 OSB for just $8.18 a sheet? Burt's Lumber and Perry. How about 4x8 sheets of half-inch drywall for just $11.97 a sheet? Yeah, that's Burt's Lumber too. You pick it up, you save big. 7/16 OSB, just $8.18 a sheet. Half-inch drywall, just $11.97 a sheet. Burt's Lumber, Washington Street in Perry. Your best price place is open 7 days a week, including Sundays, 9 to 1.
Gear up for the season with great deals on genuine New Holland parts and service, including Precision Technologies, select Riemann parts, and more. Get a 5% statement credit when you spend $1,000 or more on genuine New Holland lubricants using your Productivity Plus account. And take 15% off OEM and Fleet Guard filters that set you up for success this season. Visit Larry, Romance, and Son in Arcade, Sheridan, and Woodhull today to save on genuine New Holland parts and service.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs, whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop, ponds, or other projects. Their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you. Or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
With Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $1,400 off, plus get free delivery on select appliances like LG, America's most reliable line of appliances. Check out the newest LG refrigerator with new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. Shop Black Friday savings on select LG appliances, plus get free delivery now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid 11/5 through 12/3. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
We'll be back with a check of the forecast after this brief break.
The CJ WeatherTrack forecast brought to you by Upstate Niagara. Upstate Niagara Cooperative, farmer-owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top-quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Bison Dip, Upstate Farms yogurt, sour cream, cottage cheese, and fluid milk, home to Intense Milk and their lactose-free Milk for Life, all produced with care for their cows and commitment to their community. Our forecast for today, partly sunny, the high of 40. For tonight, mostly cloudy, low down to 27. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow early in the morning, then changing over to a chance of rain for the rest of the day, the high of 42 degrees.
So there's skim milk, a.k.a. fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful. We have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids, I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
A look into the markets here at the end of the day on Friday, November the 21st. I'm Remington Ricketts. Starting with Wall Street and the S&P 500, ending the day in the green, 6602. The Dow up 462.45 and NASDAQ higher as well, 222.73. Bitcoin lower, gold higher, euro lower. So we take a look over at the energy's futures prices, starting with crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, January contract, 101 lower at 57.99, February 57.73, and March in the red as well, 57.56. Gasoline lower, nat gas higher, crude oil lower. Over to the grains futures prices, corn December contract finishing the day one even lower at 425.5, March slightly lower at 437.5, and May half a point down at 444.75. Soybean mixed, soybean meal higher, soybean oil lower. Wheat December finishing the day even at 527 even, March one even down at 539.75, and May 1.5 lower, 548.25. Hard red winter wheat December 4.75 higher here at the end of the day, 5.11 even, March 5.26.25. Hard red spring wheat December 11.25 down, 5.28.5, with the March contract in the red as well, 5.56.75. Over to the cotton. Starting with December contract, 33 cents lower here at the end of the day at 61.35. March in the green, 11 cents higher at 63.85, and May 65.07. Finishing with the live cattle and dairy futures, live cattle December slightly lower at 214.45, February 214.77, and April in the red as well, 215.15. Feeder cattle January 314.22, 215 lower, March finishing the day in the red as well at 307.05. Lean hogs lower, pork cutout even, class 3 milk lower.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's Morning Show next on CJ Country.